everyone. Hang on.
War Midwest Guys presents Star Wars Rebels Recon.
My name is Rex, Captain, 501st Clone Battalion.
I'm not afraid.
That's what worries me.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Master.
The rebels of the Lothal system. Hunt them down.
As you wish. Your master has deceived you into believing you can become a Jedi.
Things are getting worse just as they did back when I was your age. Back then, there were 10,000 Jedi Knights protecting the galaxy. Now,
there's just you and me.
All right, if I tag along?
The more the merrier.
Mission accomplished.
Hello and welcome back to Ford Midwest Guys Presents Star Wars Rebels Recon. It's a new year and we're back to kick off the second half of the season. We'll be reviewing A Princess on Lothal. Will be the episode we'll be reviewing today. And with me as always is Mr. Brian Eggebauer.
What's up, what's up?
Not much, man. And my brother Aaron.
Hi.
How's it going, guys? So, we got lots to talk about, but before we get into the episode, I thought we'd talk briefly about the, they released a mid-season, season two mid-season trailer for the second half of the season, and I'm not sure where to start. Eggebauer, what'd you think? I mean, talk about intense.
Oh my gosh. That was a trailer that you would see for, like, I mean, that beat out some of the trailers we've seen for some of the blockbuster movies.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely. I actually watched it on my TV, like, oh, I don't know, maybe 10 times.
Yeah. Yeah, it was intense. Aaron, what'd you think of it before
it
I get
in? It looks like it's going to set up the rest of the season for, you know, be pretty action-packed.
Yeah, we get to see, for the first time, you get a Sith temple, just that artwork. I mean, I've seen the artwork of Ralph McQuarrie before. I'm going to go a little Star Wars geek here for a minute. But to actually see that in, you know, actually animated was awesome. You get, it looks like Darth Maul is back. Spoiler alert. There are spoilers, so if you don't want to hear this, fast forward. It looks like Darth Maul is going to be back. He looks like he may tempt Ezra to the dark side. Vader, you get that that awesome guilt trip from Vader, like through the Force to Ahsoka. He's like, Ahsoka, why did you leave? Do you know what I've become? I mean, dude, that gave me like chills the first time I heard it. It was just man, and what everybody's talking about, Ezra finds a three-bladed lightsaber like in The Force Awakens. So
yeah, but it's green instead of red.
Right, exactly. So it's like a Jedi's version of it. So,
trying to show that there's a more historical, you know, precedent for that sort of weapon.
Right. So, like,
or
it's
just
been
a nod to the current film, whichever.
Yeah. And you see Yoda. He's you get to see Ezra communing with Yoda through the Force as well. I mean, it's just, and you actually get to see an animated Yoda, which, you know, it's a little bit different than everything we've seen so far. For Yoda, but it's not necessarily bad. I think it's a lot better than the Clone Wars version of Yoda, actually.
Well, earlier in the season, they had like a brief like Yoda voiceover sort of thing in the one episode where Ezra's building his lightsaber, right?
Yes, and it's just Yoda's voice, and it's they haven't showed the animation of him yet. So,
I was kind of thinking they were going to stick with that for a bit longer, but it's interesting to see where it's going to go with it.
Yeah, I think it just shows that Ezra is growing in the Force, you know, and therefore his abilities are growing, and so now he can now see Yoda instead of just hearing his voice. per se, or seeing the sparkling lights like they kind of used. But yeah.
Did you take from the trailer that, you know, Ezra, there's a big possibility Ezra's going to go to the dark side?
Oh, yeah, because you see him kneeling before Darth Maul. Darth Maul's calling himself Old Master, by the way. He doesn't refer to himself as Darth Maul. But yeah, it looks like he's at least pledged his allegiance, like Anakin did anyway, to Maul. Now, whether that's just how they framed it, because it's a real quick glimpse, you know, as teaser trailers usually are. So,
well, they also showed, Ezra and Ahsoka when they were sitting there, and Ezra's watching that footage of Anakin.
Yeah.
And you just tell he's like, wow, like he's impressed.
Oh yeah, he's completely impressed. He's like, this guy's awesome. I think he even says,
yep.
Or amazing or something like that. Yeah. So. Definitely very cool to see. So, but yeah, it was just an amazing trailer. For our listeners out there, if you have not seen the trailer, you have to check it out. And I usually don't say, absolutely must, but it is a must. And yeah, it does have spoilers for the season ahead, but it's hard not to miss.
You can find a link on our page, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I know I posted. I think we both posted it, Brian. I think I posted it, and then you did. So there's multiple ways. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/number4MidwestGuys, and it's on there. So check it out. It's well worth it. Like Brian said, it's better than the block. It's up there with, I think it's up there with the Force Awakens trailer, the full trailer that they released. So and I thought that one was amazing. So. Definitely worth the time. And you also get to see Vader interact for the Inquisitors for the first time as well. So that was cool as well. All right. So we'll try not to talk too much more about the trailer. Just go watch it. And let's get it, guys. Let's get into the episode here. A Princess on Lothal. Engelbauer, what would you say that impressed you about this what did you like about this episode?
Aside from being, we knew ahead of time, but aside from them tying into the regular series, with Leia being the actual princess, one of my favorite scenes this week was probably when they went to save the guy?
Governor?
Leia. Ryder.
Yeah. Governor Ryder,
mm-hmm.
And they already Ezra and Kanan had already they had like brought the Empire, made them found Ryder there, and so when they pull up on him, he's already being detained by stormtroopers,
right?
And that's about the time that. Whatchamacallit showed up, right?
Are you talking about
in the aircraft? Didn't she show
Princess
up?
Leia? Is that what you're talking about?
No. I'm talking about when they took her hostage.
Yeah. During the scene, they pretend to take her hostage.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
So, the Phantom crew shows up.
Yeah, the Phantom crew shows up, and they run around, and they're like, "Help! They're taking me hostage," or whatever. And the stormtrooper's like, "They're taking prisoners," and the other one goes, "They do that now?"
Yeah. They had a couple of nice moments with the stormtroopers, kind of just commenting on the episode, and it was actually quite humorous.
Oh yeah, those were my favorite parts. There was the comedy that they had. I mean, that's my other favorite one, favorite scene as well.
Yeah.
Towards the end where they also had the stormtroopers like commenting like on the action scenes, and it was a nice kind of change of pace for them. And you don't see the troopers have that much dialogue usually.
Yeah, see when he goes to take down the walker and they see him with the lightsaber, like, I don't think he's on our side.
Yeah. That was an awesome scene. Of course, again, that was basically the only lightsaber scene.
It was. Yeah. It was. It was this it was at there was action in this. This was more of kind of a... It was a good episode to start the season, second half of the season with. It wasn't, like, totally action-packed, but it was a good little adventure with Princess Leia. That's how I would describe this episode, right? I mean...
Yeah, well, that, and it expands the universe a bit, and it, you know, kind of shows the rebellion kind of forming a bit more as well.
It does, yeah. You're seeing how they, you know, you can see how Alderaan is playing the political game, it sounds like, with trying to provide ships to the rebellion. So they don't get blamed, right? So, and apparently they've been doing this before, because the way the commander says it, he says, your ships have a bad habit of falling into rebel hands. So it's kind of like the Empire knows what's up, but they can't
prove
they don't
it.
Have the evidence to take them down. So, So you've got that going on. I like that about the episode too. That kind of explained, you know, how Alderaan is kind of trying to organize this rebellion into something bigger. Slowly,
well, you know, kind of had a lot of great dialogue for Leia in that way as well, because you see her interacting with the commander from the Empire side, and you have that also kind of comedic sort of back and forth between them.
Yeah, it was very. In fact, that was going to be one of the things I was going to talk about was how, we'll just jump right into it, is how they did a good job with Princess Leia. This version of Princess Leia is like, you know, she's younger, right? She's not, she's not the woman we see when we get to the Star Wars A New Hope. She's, the original Star Wars, by the way, for those that are listening. She's not that full-fledged woman that confronts Darth Vader, you know, head on. She's not quite that bold yet, but you get to see a younger version of that. You can see she's still not quite 100%, you know, confidence in herself or her plans yet or anything like that. We're kind of seeing the shades of the person she becomes, and I thought they did a really good job with that. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they did a great job with Leia. I think they were really, really close on the same kind of tone.
Very much so, yes.
But you can definitely tell that, you know, she hasn't been in charge of many missions yet. She's very, very diplomatic, which we do see in A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell she's trying to use her power of persuasion, if you will, almost Force-esque. She doesn't, you know, actually use the Force.
No.
Or does she?
Well,
you know what I mean? Because the way she manipulates the situation,
she's very political. Yes, whether it's Force-esque or not, she may have the reflexes. Because she doesn't know she has the Force, right?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. She doesn't know she has the Force, so she's not 100% using it. But she still, when she turns to talk to the lieutenant there.
Yeah,
you know, and she's like, "I'm going to need your ship," and he's like, "My ship? Sure, my ship." You know, it's almost like these aren't the droids you're looking for. They're not the droids you're looking for. I need your ship. You need my ship. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it was almost unintentional, and she thinks she's getting away with something. But you know, I kind of got that, like, she does have a little bit of the Force in her almost.
That's a good point. She could be. What's the thing that they say? I think in Phantom Menace. With Anakin it's why his reflexes are so fast, because he sees things before they happen. So it's possible that she's integrated that. She kind of is able to feel maybe, you know, the commander's insecurity maybe. And she just thinks that it's part of her political, you know, upbringing. But in reality, maybe it is the Force. That could be. That's a good point, Brian, that maybe she's using her abilities without knowing that she has them, you know, to a certain extent.
Exactly. Like, she doesn't know she can use the Force or anything else, but the way the scenes played out for me was the way she took control. Wasn't so much the fact that she was in power, you know, like as a princess or whatever, or whatchamacallit to her dad, but it almost felt like she was controlling the situation through, like, her thoughts. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Like, hold on, I'll take care of the situation.
Yeah,
I'll need your ship to take care of this. And he's like, my ship? she's like, yes, your ship. And he's like, okay, my ship. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, okay.
Yeah, she's very much taking control of the situation. She's very, you know, whether it's her upbringing on Alderaan and, you know, her father being a senator, she's politically smart, obviously.
Yep.
And she knows how to play the game very well, masterfully almost. So, again, I don't know if maybe, like I said, she's just thinking it's part of her political upbringing and she just happens to have a good... you know, sixth sense about people or something, maybe, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it could be.
You know, maybe that's where she's tying in. I don't know. Aaron, what do you think about that?
She's definitely setting the pace in terms of conversations, but there's nothing that hints at it being necessarily an overt, like, force kind of thing, but it could be a subconscious thing in some way. But she's definitely setting the pace in the conversation, and the contrast between the current form, the show versus like A New Hope, really could just be the contrast and, you know, the circumstances for her. Like A New Hope, she's very much more direct, but in the same time, she's much more direct in terms of the rebellion being much more direct. So like just her position changed, like in her character actually does seem quite similar.
Yeah. In fact, she had to kill some stormtroopers because she picks up the rifle and starts shooting at them. And I'm thinking at that point, I'm like, okay, the stormtroopers either have to die or somebody needs to mind wipe them, because otherwise they're going to know that she's part of the rebellion, right? So
yeah, it's weird to go back into the, oh, I just got knocked out theory when someone just saw you shooting at, like, you know, your own forces.
Right, exactly. So she knows, you know, she's very careful. She does take risks, though. I mean, that was a risk thing, right? Because if those stormtroopers survive, they're going to report back and say, hey, she was shooting at us.
Yeah.
She would have had a hard time explaining that. So,
I mean, unless she was just thinking, like, no one's going to believe him. It'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who are you? I'm a princess. I was confused, maybe. I don't know. but yeah, so I thought it was really good use. I thought it was – I think, Brian, I think you brought up the point. She kind of shows a little bit – or one of you guys were talking – maybe it was before the show – talking about how she was shows a little bit of the general, maybe even, in this, where they're all trying to figure out how they're going to steal these ships under such tight security reasons.
Even the second she meets, like, Kanan and Ezra, she does go for, like, a leadership position very quickly. Like, she's aware of the situation and their surroundings and, you know, just wants to progress forward, and thus taking some form of command, you know, helps with that.
Yeah, even Ezra's like, excuse me?
Yeah, like, I don't get to take commands or give commands.
Yeah, nobody ever wants to listen to you. I think I'm very interesting, actually. But, yeah, I thought it was, you know, we got to see kind of maybe the general side that we maybe didn't even get to see in The Force Awakens, and where everybody's kind of down, feeling down about how are they going to do this with two walkers and these locks on the ships and stuff and all the security around it. And she kind of takes command and kind of leads them back into believing in themselves again. So you kind of see like that almost general maybe kind of feel, or maybe just that moral support person.
Yeah. Well, that was also a good scene where you see the one general, or not general, but the governor Ryder, like, kind of step in and talk about how, you know, when he was in prison, he worked on those sort of locks.
Yeah, there's something.
He said he created them.
Yeah, he worked on them or he created them. Yeah, I'm not sure which. Is it just
meant like in a manufacturing sense? But I could be wrong.
Maybe. Speaking of Ryder, and I thought about this even during the last episode. Anybody else feel like maybe there's more to that guy? Like he's holding back something? Is it just me, or am I just automatically paranoid of the guy?
No, but that could just be foreshadowing for backstory later.
Agabar, what do you think?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. He seems almost like he has a hidden agenda.
Yeah.
You know, and did you guys catch the fact that he didn't know that Kanan was a Jedi?
Yeah, that kind of surprised me a lot. I was like, really? And then I guess it kind of makes sense because he's only known Ezra's parents up to that point, and they didn't really show any Force ability to him. But it did kind of catch me by surprise a little bit. Well, I'd actually think about it.
It caught me way by surprise because they were sitting there talking to him. You know what I mean? Like, did he just think he was a rebel, I guess?
I guess so. I guess he just thought he was just a normal person until he saw the lightsaber. So
it caught me off guard there. I was going to ask you about that.
But yeah, he seems kind of, to me, I don't know, there's something about the guy, and I want to like him, and I want to make him part of the crew, and he kind of seems like he's going back to Lothal, and he's picking up the sword again against the Empire, so to speak. But there's something about him that just makes me wonder if he's an agent for the Empire, or there's something he's hiding. I don't know.
Well, see, and that's what I was thinking. I was thinking maybe he's the reason why Ezra's parents got captured, and he's the reason, like,
right.
he was the traitor, if you will, amongst
yeah.
the group.
Yep, that's what I'm thinking too. I'm thinking he maybe to save his own hide or something, he sacrificed his parents to the Empire or something. He's yeah. hiding something. Like I said, I want to keep wanting to like the guy, and they keep trying to paint him in that right picture. But I don't know if it's the voice actor, who sounds very familiar to me, by the way. I have to look up who that is. I don't know. It just seems very – the guy just kind of seems like he's up to no good. There's something – he's got, like you said, Brian, a hidden agenda. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. all right. So one of the Engelbauer, I think you – what else did you enjoy about the episode?
Well, we touched on both of mine in the beginning. We talked about the humor. I really enjoyed both those scenes with the humor. Mm-hmm. But I liked it when Leia sees, I guess she, you know, that's the first time Leia's seen a Jedi.
Yeah.
You know, everybody seemed to be impressed, and you know, when Kanan says, you know, you take care of this, and Ezra, and they work together as a team, and he's mm-hmm. like, no problem. And so Ezra goes and he, you know, slices the legs of the walker. Mm-hmm. And Leia's like, "Did you see that?" And then Ezra's like, "Well, you like that? Watch this."
Yeah.
and then he goes to pull the guns, and one hits him in the head. And she's like, "Well, that was impressive, for the most part."
Yeah, kind of, or sort of.
Yeah. I like those little kind of like jab at him. It was pretty funny, but once again, that was the action scene. I'm always drawn to the action scenes, lightsaber scenes.
Right.
Seemed to be a highlight for the episodes.
Yep.
It did kind of draw me in. It kind of made me question it, too. I was like, has she never seen a Jedi before? I would think, being around the Rebels, that they've run into other Jedi. But I guess it's possible that it's not, and that up to that point, anyway, Leia's never seen that.
Well, the only other Jedi they really show in the Rebel, like, faction so far is just Ahsoka herself.
Yeah, you would think she would know Ahsoka and know that, or at least seen her pull out of lights, but she was very, maybe it's just because she's never seen a Jedi cut off the legs of a walker. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. So, which brings me up to another sort, I do have a sore point with that. Why doesn't Luke do the same damn thing then?
If it's that easy to do.
If it's that easy to do, why isn't he out on Hoth just going around cutting down the damn walker?
Just give him a speeder bike.
Exactly. Just let him go out there and just start cutting the damn leg. All he has to do is really take one leg down. I mean, doesn't have to do two, right?
Pretty much. I mean, they're not arguably the most balanced of vehicles.
Exactly. I'm just like, so when I saw that, I was like, really? I was like, no, it's cool, don't get me wrong, but I'm like...
Yeah, uber cool, it makes you question other scenes in the franchise.
I'm like, alright, well, apparently Luke wasn't that strong with the Force, maybe. Yeah, I started making excuses for it, but...
Just a heads up.
Yeah.
The guy who does the voice, you're trying to figure out who he was?
Yeah.
He also plays the General Wade Elling on The Flash.
Does he? He sounds very familiar to me, and I don't know if it was...
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's from Flash. It's got to be other things he's done, too, because I've heard him before.
Yeah, his name is Clancy Brown. He's been on, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He's been on SpongeBob SquarePants.
He's done a lot of voiceover work.
Oh, a ton of voiceover work. Sophia the First, maybe, Brian?
That's probably it, because Gabby's my daughter's such a big fan, yeah.
Yeah, he plays Constable Miles.
Yep, that's probably it. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
But he's done a ton of work. in those, and he's also done several actual movies acting himself. Mm. He was Lex Luthor's voice in Lego Batman.
Mm. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's where I'm getting somewhere along the line. I'm picking up that voice that he's using is evil, and I don't know if it's something I've heard previous or if it's just something. It just lends to that whole character. I don't know.
Oh, I know why you don't like him.
Why?
He was Savage Opress in Star Wars: The Clone Wars.
Ah, there it is. That's it. That's it. I knew it. Son of a. Sorry.
So that's why you don't.
That's why I'm associating the bad guy. That's it. That's exactly it. Okay, there it is. I was like, damn, I know that voice. Okay, yep, that's why. Savage Opress, Darth Maul's brother. Spoiler alert. From the Clone Wars. Okay, cool. All right, so with mystery solved there, that's good. All right, so the other thing I really liked about this, I liked the Princess Leia interaction with Ezra. She sees them kind of consoling Ezra once they get back aboard the Ghost, saying sorry about your parents with the rest of the crew. And she kind of feels sorry for him, and basically Kanan kind of just says he has a lot of responsibility, and and she goes, I know what that feels like. And so she kind of, I won't say takes Ezra under her wing necessarily, but just kind of decides to be, try to be friends with Ezra. And
she seems sympathetic to him anyway.
Very sympathetic to him.
I think it kind of draws him back into the fight. He was kind of, very, very much, you could tell he was getting bored almost. Kind of like, that was the feeling I got. Like he was out of the, he was just out of it. He was just like, yeah, we're here to do this. We're here to get these ships. Yeah, we're doing this, whatever,
And yeah.
And he comes back into the thing. He's looking at his picture of his family, and he's kind of crying a little bit.
Yeah.
And then she comes in and she's like, I fight because I can for those who can't, and blah, 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 blah. And I think that's like you. And all of a sudden you could just almost see a light switch twitch. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. And I thought they did a really good job with the animation, even because in the beginning of the episode, he throws him his, his cadet helmet and says, come on, Ezra, let's go. And he ends up spinning the helmet on his finger, kind of twirling his finger like whoop-a-dee-doo, right? So right there, you've got that emotion you're talking about, Brian, that, okay, great, fine. And then, but yeah, she's able to bring him back and to get back into the game. So again, another leader example of how she can help people. And for Princess Leia. But the other thing that I found interesting was in the background they played Luke and Leia's music, which is the theme from A New Hope, where that da, 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 I can't do it, but anyway, that da, 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 da. Anyway, that's the Luke and Leia theme
right.
for them, and the fact that they used it here for Ezra and Princess Leia, it was almost like they're saying, they're reaffirming that Ezra is like Luke on the hero's journey, which is, if anybody knows about the hero's journey, is very essential to Star Wars and George Lucas and how he created Star Wars, and he used the hero's journey. And I could go on. We could go on for hours about that. But I just thought it was an interesting choice of music. What'd you think, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the music was interesting, too. I actually listened to the music again. I watched the episode once on Wednesday, and then I listened to another podcast that they talked about, they talked about the music, the music on this episode was really good, and they talked about, the possibility of Ezra being Snoke.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that theory.
And,
around for that, though, hasn't there? For the new films?
Do what?
So there's been a lot of theories about, the identity of, Snoke and...
Oh yeah,
new films and things like that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And this one, when they talked about it, they said, they're playing that angle up. He's starting to get, he got a scar on his face already. And, you know, is something going to come of this where he pulls the Darth Maul and kind of fades away for a little bit, and he's just biding his time, you know, learning the Force and everything, you know, the ins and outs of the Force.
Yeah.
And they were talking about that. So I went back and rewatched that, kind of hoping to listen to the music and hear a little bit of, you know, the Snoke theme
in the background.
Yeah. I didn't hear it, but, you know, it was one of those things, like, it made me go back and rewatch the episode listening to the music.
Well, I think one of the things about Rebels this season, well, really the entire series, I think, it's going to be they keep playing with you, right? You're not sure which way he's going to go. I think we won't know maybe till the end of the series even which way he goes. I think you're going to see him, you know, really pull towards the light. We obviously know from the trailer, spoiler alert, by the way, that he's talking to Yoda. We know in the past he's talked to Yoda, so he's heavily influenced by the light, and now he's going to be heavily influenced by the dark side coming up at some point.
You know, part of that conversation that we get with him and Yoda is, you know, why is it bad that I'm helping my friends?
Mm-hmm.
And Yoda's like, it's not the fact that you're helping your friends, it's how you do it.
Yeah, how a Jedi chooses to win. It's not about winning, it's about how a Jedi chooses to win and how he goes about handling himself. Yeah. So
I don't know.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. It's one of the many reasons I love this show. It's probably, I would say it's my favorite show on TV right now. And, you know, that says a lot, really. So, all right, guys. Well, I think we reviewed the episode pretty well, so let's just get right down to final thoughts. All right, Mr. Eckenbauer, I'll give you the honor of the first final thoughts.
Okay, let's go with my grade first.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a B on this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it had the same energy that the previous two episodes had. Those last two episodes leading into the mid-season finale, I mean, were just amazing. But then again, we talked about it earlier, they were really action-packed. They had lightsaber duels in both episodes. Really high energy builds up to that, you know, mid-season cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
This one didn't have that same energy for me, but it did have the comedic effect, you know, with the stormtroopers talking, and, you know, I really enjoyed that part of it. So, like you said, this was a great one to come out of the mid-season lull there. To get us right back into things. I really enjoyed that. It was nice to see the appearance to tie in with Leia.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of brings us that much closer to A New Hope. So, you know, before New Hope, we didn't really have a timeline as far as where they were in the storyline. We knew Vader, but Vader turned to, you know, Anakin turned to Vader early.
Right. Right.
So we didn't know where they were in that kind of situation, but now that we can see that Leia is, you know, she's not a kid.
No.
You know, so she's definitely, you know, we're definitely within that, I would say, probably 10-year range.
Yeah, they actually say that before they began the series, and they've never said it in the series, but they say that this all takes place, or at least season one started out 5 years before A New Hope.
Okay.
No, okay, but again, but this is definitely our first visual cue in the series, really, that we are much, other than maybe seeing Ahsoka grown up, is that we are much closer to A New Hope than we are to Revenge of the Sith in the series. It's the first clue, right?
And it definitely showed us that at the very end when they put those three... put those three ships into their blockade there of the, you know, the parade of ships for the rebels.
Yeah, their fleet. Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely get that feeling that how close they are to actually having a legitimate fleet.
Oh yeah,
you know,
I mean,
like when we saw in you know, when Luke and Leia are standing there watching Lando and Chewbacca go out after Han.
Right, and they're getting much closer. I agree, because it because you got to remember in A New Hope, they even state that that the Rebel fleet is, it becomes a legitimate threat to the Empire. Yep. You know, because the guy who's that says that this station is now the ultimate power in the universe also says a threat to your Starfleet commander, but not to this station. You know, it, blah blah blah. But apparently, because they've, and we're gonna see that, we're also gonna get that coming up in Rogue One next year.
Right.
So, you know, we're gonna get to see how they get the plans to the Death Star, and that really is what kicks. It's like the immediate precursor to A New Hope, and I think all this is going to tie in. I think you're going to see a lot of stuff for Rogue One. I think hints at Rogue One at the second half of Season 2 of Rebels, I think. And I think you're also going to definitely see it for Season 3 of Rebels. And
My one last thing I wanted to bring up, I wanted to save it for the final thoughts for just a brief discussion with everybody, mm-hmm. is the other podcast that I listened to, they actually brought up a good point that, you know, a lot of times with these kind of shows, they'll lead you in one direction and then they'll switch something on you.
Yeah.
Right? So they do the old bait and switch. Now, what they brought up was an interesting point. What if it's not Ezra that turns to the dark side? What if it's Kanan?
That would be a big shock to me. Now, it's not out of the realm of possibility, because technically Kanan never fully completed his training either. So,
but he watched like all his other fellow Jedis be massacred.
Yeah, but it would seem to me he's kind of always he's the reluctant Jedi to me. But he's always been the Jedi still. He's just the reluctant Jedi.
I'm not sure there's anything in his character arc that would suggest him turning, but it'd be an interesting twist.
It would
be a huge twist. And what if it wasn't Ezra talking to Yoda about himself more so as it was
about Kanan?
You know, like, you know, it's about the choice you choose to save your friends. What if Kanan goes that other direction because he wants to save his friends? Because he saw all his other friends get slaughtered.
It's a possibility. It would be a big switch, and it would be a shocker to me.
I think in order to have something like that, you'd have to have something traumatic happening within the actual show itself in order to actually kind of move him towards that direction.
Well, they did show at the end of the mid-season trailer, Vader and Ahsoka.
Mm.
You know, so what if it's Vader taking out Ahsoka, and then all of a sudden, you know, Kanan gets this rage and he starts taking everybody out. But
here's how I see. I see physically, Jedi power wise, Ezra is almost Kanan's equal, if not more powerful now. He's getting pretty close, but when it comes to the philosophy side of it, Kanan is definitely more advanced than Ezra. And to see him, it would take something extraordinary to see him turn, where with Ezra it would be much easier, because he doesn't fully understand the Jedi philosophy and the philosophy of the light side versus the dark. So
that's why I wanted to bring it up. It was one of the things they said, you know, what if it was a twist that we didn't see coming.
It would be interesting. It would be an interesting twist, but it would have to be very well done. Not to say that Filoni couldn't and the team couldn't pull it off. Those guys are masters at Star Wars storytelling, in my opinion. So, it's possible. It's possible. It's definitely something to ponder. I'll have to think about it. Meditate on it, I will. Okay. Good discussion. Good final thought, Brian. All right, I will move into my final thought real quick. I'm going to give it an A- to an A, just because I really liked how they handled Leia. I liked the introduction of Leia. I like how it was just a good introduction to Leia. I mean, they're bringing in a very iconic character from the Star Wars lore, a Legends character, if you want to get right down to it. one of the big three, and to see how they integrated her into the Rebels universe, so to speak, I thought they did an excellent job. And for that, yeah, this episode lacked a lot of action, so to speak, compared to the others that we've been on so far in the ride. But I thought that it was a really good character development story, especially for Leia. Really good. Just an overall really well-rounded episode, and great to see how they integrated Leia. And I love the episode. So it's just a real quick final thought from me. Aaron, what was your final thought?
I think the episode was a pretty solid B. You kind of get reintroduced to the universe. You see where Rebels is kind of fitting in the greater, you know, Star Wars canon. And, it had its nice comedic elements, and it seems like it's really kind of setting the pace for, the rest of the season.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, I think we have, we've covered everything pretty well. We've actually gone a little long today. Usually we try to keep these about 30 minutes, but hey, there's a lot of good Star Wars conversation tonight. So we'll just end here, and I will. You probably want to know, where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? Well, you can find us on Facebook.com/4MidwestGuys. You can reach out to us on Twitter @4MidwestGuys, and you can also reach us via email, the4MidwestGuys@gmail.com. So we love to hear from you. We're really desperate for some feedback from our listeners. So good, bad, or different, or otherwise, let us know. We're getting ready to get together and kind of plan out at least what we're going to do for the next 6 months, probably. So listener feedback is needed. So please, 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 please reach out to us and tell us what you think, what you like, what you don't. All right, guys. Well, that's a great podcast. Great having you on board. Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
And Mr. Eggebauer, thanks for coming along, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. And you guys can also reach out to me at AnkZone, AnkZone. You can reach out to me if you want to have any questions about Star Wars or any kind of theories on your Star Wars stuff. Give me a little shout out there.
There you go. Sorry about that, Brian. I forgot to ask you that. So
no problem.
All right, man. Well, okay, guys. Well, we'll see you next week. And as always, may the Force be with you.